Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. Some of the many services we offer include nursing and social work services. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Jerry Perelman. And we're going to go right back to Jerry Walsh, who is the president of the FINRA Foundation and senior vice president of investor education. Jerry, I have another question. I have a bunch of questions. But one, I really enjoy having the conversation with you, and you're coming across so sincere. How did you get involved in this?
I got involved in investor education, gosh, about 20 years ago. And I was an attorney at the Securities and Exchange Commission in the Enforcement Division. And Arthur Levitt, who was then the chair of the commission, created this new Office of Investor Education. And I thought, wow, this will combine my love of the law and policy, but also my desire to do community outreach. And so that's how it got started.
Wow. Okay. I'm doing this stuff. Well, I'm trying to do it just piecemeal, but I didn't know the foundation existed.
Well, I'm glad you know now, and I'm glad your listeners know, because we've had some grants that have benefited your neighborhood. And we try to do things on a national level. What we really aim to do is empower particularly underserved investors with the tools they need for financial success. But investor protection is one of our key programs.
Hey, Jerry, this is Jerry Perelman again. I am thinking about some of our seniors who are listening to the program right now. And what can they be on the lookout for? For example, how can they protect their money when they get calls to make investments? If they get calls because they have a relative in trouble, they get the calls because someone wants to repair their doorstep. Is there some advice that we can give them how to be more cautious in handling these, what to be sensitive to?
Well, whenever you get an unsolicited call, my first piece of advice is advice that you guys have already given, which is don't even take the call. Let it go to voicemail. You know, if somebody really wants to get in touch with you, they'll leave a message, right? But if you get all these robocalls and nobody's leaving a message, that tells you something. But if you do speak to the person, if you do, and they're making an unsolicited pitch, so they are calling you to say, I can repair your roof, tell them that you want it in writing, that you don't do business over the phone. Have a refusal script. That's one of the best things that you can do. And if somebody's pitching an investment, what you need to do is ask and check. You need to ask whether the person is licensed and then independently verify it. We have a tool called BrokerCheck. You can get to it at brokercheck.org. Look up to see whether that person is licensed to sell securities or licensed to give investment advice. And if you don't see their name, that's a huge red flag.
That's good, great points. So most important, if it's an unsolicited call, you didn't ask for this call, you didn't make any inquiries, you didn't initiate the conversation, they're calling you, be cautious.
Exactly. And, you know, back after Sandy happened, there was a lot of scam, including investment scams, but also home repair scams and landscape repair scams that were happening. You know, we're seeing that now again with Florence and with Michael. You know, the fraudsters follow the news just like everybody else, and they leverage the news to tailor their hooks. They can change their pitch on a dime. They'll make whatever it is they're offering seem relevant and necessary. In fact, they kind of foment this kind of, you know, hunger that you would have for either the riches that they're telling you you're going to get or, you know, some service that you think you need.
Isn't it something that people in need of a break, whether it's after a storm or after some family tragedy, get hit again with someone wanting to take their money or commit fraud against them, like double trouble.
I agree. But that's the purpose of these people.
Oh,
and if they make 500 calls, not 500, if they make 100 calls a day and get one person, that's a good day.
Yeah.
And that one person could be anywhere from $500 to thousands.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's why email is such a successful tool for fraudsters. It's so cheap and easy to send out, you know, emails just randomly, and there are programs, you know, that robocall, programs that can do vast emails. You know, a lot of it ends up in your spam filter, but these guys know how to make it come through, and it, you know,
and look
their
official.
Pitches can look real. Exactly.
Yeah, some I've gotten some mail. I'm looking. I'm saying, and then all of a sudden, oh, I've gotten one from FedEx. You know, I haven't done something, and my package is waiting to be delivered. And it's like I don't have a package coming. But
right.
You know, if your son is sending you a package, you have no idea. And the other thing I do push all the time, because you know, here in Nassau, there's a lot of community centers, senior centers, etc. And I'm sure that's all over the country. You go to lunch. Ask your lady friends or your men friends or whatever to say, you don't have to divulge how much money you have. Just say, somebody made a call to me in reference to this. Does it make sense? And hopefully there's somebody at the table say, don't do it. Because, you know, if people would just trust somebody, even within their circle, and again, I'm not asking anybody to divulge how much money they have. It's very personal. But just say, have you ever gotten a call from so-and-so? Should I look into it? No, absolutely stop.
And Jerry, what you said before, you with the 800 number that you gave, people could call you to
yes.
ask you.
Yep, they can call and ask us. And one of the things that we've done that's kind of the other side of what you're describing is FINRA recently passed some new rules that require brokerage firms, to ask their customers to identify a trusted contact
right.
so that if something goes awry in the account, either you know, the customer makes a request for some kind of transaction that just doesn't fit the pattern, or if the customer is unavailable and something suspicious is happening in the account, the firm, the broker, will be able to contact a trusted advisor. And, you know, on the one hand, sometimes people think, oh, I don't necessarily want someone else to have access to my accounts. That's not what it's about. It's an ability for the broker to be able to call and say, hey, I haven't heard from your mother or I haven't heard from your neighbor, but I got this request to transfer money. Can you tell me if your, you know, your mom or your neighbor is okay? And that's an important tool for firms to be able to help people.
I think that's a great tool.
Right. That's something actually we initiated a couple of months ago when it came out. We sent letters to everybody asking them, and a lot of people don't want to do it. I say, give a son, give a cousin, give somebody. It doesn't even have to be somebody who has financial expertise. Somebody you trust that would turn around and ask a question. I have a great story for you, Jerry, from one of the attorneys we deal with. When the time came and the family were going through a particular man's finances, they see a check that he was writing every month for like $130, $140. Not a big amount. And he was still alive, and they questioned, what is this for, Dad? He sings in his church choir. And several years before, he got a phone call from somebody who said, you're singing copyrighted songs and you could go to jail. If you want to continue singing in the church, you have to send a monthly fee. And he's been sending the fee for years.
Oh, my word. That is horrifying.
From actually an attorney who was an assemblywoman in New York. So it's a, you know, it's a legit. And nobody wants to say anything. And it's only by reviewing it, and 140, I don't know the exact amount, it didn't throw off his finances, so it wasn't like he was going broke. But it was a couple of $1,000 by the time the family found it.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. But you figure that that fraudster probably had at least 100 other people.
Imagine if he did.
A paycheck for instilling fear.
And it's so hard to get the funds back. I mean, it's just a number of scams. It's scary. How people spend so much time coming up with something to steal versus, like, get a real job, do something good for the society. But it doesn't work that way.
No, and that's also where, you know, because I've been approached. We've all been approached, right? I mean, anyone with any money gets approached. But when you tell people, put it in writing, send it to me in the mail, you know, again, I don't do business over the phone or, you know, and then take that letter, if you ever get it,
right.
And show it to somebody you trust. But my bet is you're not ever going to get the letter, because when you ask people to put something in writing, all those kind of home repair scams, this terrible situation that you just described with the, you know, claiming of music.
That's the best one I've ever heard.
They don't put it in writing because they don't want to be traced.
You know, Jerry, I had someone ring my bell a couple of months ago, and he said he was in the neighborhood, and he was doing home repairs, and he wanted to repair my steps going leading up to the front door. And he seemed very sincere, very nice young man. And he starts telling me different numbers, and we could charge this, but we'll give you a special deal now, and can we go ahead and do it? And I simply said to him, I'd like to think about it. Would you drop your business card off? Do you have a business card so I can call you? And he said, oh, I'll drop it off. I never heard from him again.
Right, see? That's...
But that's really good advice for your listeners. Like, follow that model. Just and again, it's like ask and check, because one of the things that you could do, if he's supposedly in the home repair business, there's probably some organization within New York State. I live in Virginia, but in New York State, I bet they have the same kind of contract license bureau that you can call and make sure that the person actually has a license. And what you're doing is not only questioning them, you're giving yourself the space to kind of take a breather if you've gotten excited about whatever it's, you know, being offered to you. It sounds like that wasn't the case with you, but, you know, but you put some space in the decision. You give yourself the opportunity to check it out. And that's really the best way to protect yourself, is ask and check for investments, broker check, and you know, the Securities and Exchange Commission has a database of public companies that you can check to see whether a company is really a company. But for all of these different kinds of frauds that you might encounter, there's usually somebody that you can call and check. AARP Foundation has a Fraud Watch network. That's a great resource to call for home repair scams and for other kinds of non-investment frauds. You know, the New York Attorney General, I'm sure, would be interested in hearing about any kind of commercial fraud.
I agree 100%. And they do. They have an 800 number. In Nassau County, almost 50% of the claims going to the district attorney is some sort of scam from contractors, believe it or not. It's a huge number.
One of the things that's so heartbreaking is often, you know, especially with financial fraud, the money, you know, the pitches are coming from overseas. And so even though the number looks like it's a Nassau County number or a New York State number or something in the U.S., it's not. It's from overseas. It's from some, you know, pocket of the world where it's easy to ping things off and make things look like they're legitimate, but they're not.
That's it. And it's so difficult to ever get the money back at the end of the day. It's rare that you're going to get it. The most important thing is be careful from the beginning. Jerry, we're out of time, but I really want to take the time to thank you so, so much, because I know how busy you are and the importance of the work you do. So to come on the radio for our seniors is really, it's a gift for the seniors, and I want to thank you so sincerely.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. It's just been wonderful to chat with you.
Great. Have a wonderful weekend, and you've been listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.